Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rainbow Center. We hope you are going to have yourself an absolute wonderful day today. I plan to. You should plan to, too. Hallelujah. Today, I want to look at some scriptures that often are not looked at. There's a lot of times in some of Paul's writings, there's things we mention them, but we don't actually study them out. We kind of skip over them. I've been a Christian now for 31 and a half years, in 31 and a half years, I don't recall this ever being taught on, in my hearing anyways. I'm sure many have in many places, but I'm just saying for me, in 31 years, I've not heard this taught on. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll teach on it. And so what I've done, I've created a title for my message today, and that title is, What's Wrong With Me? What's Wrong With Me? That's the title. What's Wrong With Me? And the reason I'm going to touch on this, I'm going to do the Don Cherry thing. I'm going to talk about things that everybody thinks about but's too afraid to talk about. All right? So I'm going to talk about things that most don't want to talk about. So what's wrong with me? And we're going to read today. Our text is going to be Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to read through probably the entire chapter. And the meat of where I want to get at is towards the end of the chapter. But I'm going to start at verse number 1 because I want you to get a premise of the idea of what's going on here. Why Paul is saying what he's saying. Now, first of all, to give you some background, a lot of Paul's writings, he was dealing with people getting past the law, the written law. And it was very difficult task for Paul because he wasn't saying throw the law out of the window. It's just teaching people to have a proper relationship with the law. That was the problem. The problem wasn't the law. The problem was people's perception and people's relationship with the law. So oftentimes you'll find Paul trying to put the law in his perspective. He didn't say throw the law out the window, but he said don't live under the law. There's a big difference there. So he's trying to show an appropriate relationship with law so that you and I could live in freedom. Because if you live in a wrong relationship with the law, you will find yourself living in condemnation. You'll find yourself falling short all the time. And the reason that Paul wrote these letters is because the majority of believers in the first century church were living in wrong relationship with the law. In other words, they were trying to make it work. And the more you try to make it work, the more you're going to fail. So, let's just start off here. Father, thank you. Thank you today for your word. Thank you today for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, thank you the very eyes of our understanding is light enlightened this day, that we may know, we may perceive, and yes, even understand the very things that you speak to us today by your spirit through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Romans chapter 7, verse 1, New Living Translation. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law. Okay, who's he talking about? Those that are familiar with the law. He's talking about those that were in Judaism, and those that were in Judaism came into the Christ. They became Christians through their Judaism. So he's talking about those who were raised up with the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, and they had strict adherences and laws to live by, and they did their best to live by them. So he says, you who are familiar with the law, so he says, you know this law, so now I'm going to give you a little law lesson, a lesson on legalities. So we're going to start off some legalities here. So if you're, those of you online, if you have a lawyer background, this should be very interesting to you because it's going to make sense. He says, don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? Did you know that? Did you know that you cannot charge a dead man for running a red light? Do you guys know that? You can't do that. You can't be charged for running a red light if you're dead. The law applies only to the living. You cannot accuse a dead man of murder, and you cannot charge and convict him of murder if he's dead. You can only bring charges against the living. That's what he's saying here. Don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? I'm always saying, well, yeah, that's common sense. That makes sense. Well, we have to say that because you have to see something here. For example, now they're bringing one of the Mosaic laws out. For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the law of marriage no longer apply to her. So while a woman is married to a man, she is bound to that man for her life. But once that man dies, the marriage is basically annulled. The law no longer applies to her and her husband because he's no longer alive, so it no longer applies. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. This is the ancient Jewish law. And they were very strict on that law. A woman could not divorce, and if she did divorce, she could not remarry until her husband passed away. When the husband passed away, through death, the law became null and void. So the law ends up becoming null and void through death. Verse 4. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. He's talking to you now. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. So it says, you died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. Listen. You died with Christ 2,000 years ago because you're one with him. So why are we struggling? Because you don't believe you died with Christ 2,000 years ago. You think you're still alive. Even though you have everything, you don't believe you have it. If you don't believe you have it, you will not experience it. So you died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. In other words, the law has no power over you. So why are you trying to live under the law? You're trying to live under a powerless thing. The law is for people who are alive. Now we're getting to a little bit of metaphors here. The metaphors here. The law is for people who are alive to themselves. You are either alive to yourself or you're alive to Christ. You can't be alive to both. If you're alive to yourself, you're dead to Christ. If you're alive to Christ, you're dead in yourself. This is the challenge. This is the journey. This is that which we are processing through. We're not trying to be good people. Stop. Don't try to be a good person. You will frustrate yourself. Try to realize the truth. What's the truth? You're dead. You died with Christ. What's the truth? There is no spoon. Okay? There is no spoon. There is no natural life you have. There is none. It died with Christ 2,000 years ago. So therefore, what I need to do, there's still a doing in this, what I need to do is work on my believing in that which already is by the grace of God. What is that that already is? It's this. I died with Christ on that cross. Therefore, I no longer live, but it is Christ that lives in me. Mike is dead. And the only time I have problems is when I forget the truth that Mike is dead. And I start acting like Mike's alive. And when I start acting like Mike's alive, we have problems. We have problems. So I can't try to kill Mike off. What I have to do is focus on the truth. I am dead. In the life I now live, I live in Christ Jesus. It's not my life, it's His life in me living. I died 2,000 years ago. This is a reality, an unfolding reality that we need to continually and progressively walk into. Because the problem in our life is always this, an identity problem. Everything comes back to this, an identity problem. Either I am in Mike or I am in Christ. Who are you? Who are you? That's the answer is, I am blank. You fill in the blank. Either I am Christ in the earth or I am Mike in the earth. Well, in Christian circles, we don't like to say I am Christ. That's sacrilege. No, it's not, silly. Read the book. We are Christ in the earth. Why? Because we're His body. Come on. The body is just as much as the person as the head is. My leg is just as much Mike as my head is Mike. Different function. It's all Mike. It's all Mike. So therefore, I am part of the body of Christ. Therefore, I am Christ. Because I'm attached to Him and I'm part of Him. And I'm not just some of Christ. I am Christ. My little toe is Mike. It's the little toe on Mike and is part of Mike. Therefore, it is Mike. If you cut my little toe off and say, look at this little toe, that's Mike's toe. That's part of Mike. Well, therefore, that toe is Mike. Therefore, I am Christ. You gotta let that one just kind of sink in. Because that's the struggle, brothers and sisters. Identity. Identity. So back to verse 4. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of law when you died with Christ, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. So Christ died and was raised from the dead. So you died and you've been raised from the dead. You've been raised into a resurrected body. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. Why? Because we're a new being. Why? Because my self-life is dead. There's nothing now to hinder me unless I believe there's something to hinder me. You see, it's my believing that traps me up. Truth has set me free, but it's what John 10:32 says, it's the truth you know that sets you free. It's the truth that's become real to you, a reality to you that sets you free. Just the written truth doesn't do a thing for you. It's just potential. It's what's been processed in your life that brings about that freedom. So verse 5 says, when we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused those evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. Death meaning separation from God. In other words, it's once the law says, don't touch, everything within you wants to touch it. Right? What is that called? That's self. That's the dead guy. That's the dead guy. He said, no, I don't want to touch that because I'm in Christ. I'm dead to that. Instead of, I got to try and fight this thing. Oh, I so bad want to do that. Oh, I don't know if I can make it. Well, of course you can't make it. Yourself can't do anything. With Christ, it's already done. I'm free from that because I don't live in Mike. I live in Christ. This is the transformation of the mind we're talking about. Verse 6. But now we have been released from the law. We've been released from the law. Why? For we died to it. Remember? The law is only effectual while you're alive. Once you're dead, the law no longer applies to you. So if you are dead, the law doesn't apply. So if I am dead to myself, the law no longer supplies and no longer has power to capture my life. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way. What's the old way? Obeying the letter of the law, doing all the right things, trying to be a good Christian. That's the old way. That brings death. Again, stop trying to be a good Christian. You can't. Not in the old way of obeying the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. How do we fix our lives? By not trying to fix our lives. How do we fix our lives? By living in the Spirit. How do we fix our lives? By drawing into Christ, into the identity of my oneness, of your oneness in Christ Jesus. That's how you change your life. You don't change your life by trying to fix your life. Because if you try to fix your life, you're always one step away from messing it up again. Yet if I go through the transition of my identity and I start to believe I'm a different person, that identity determines what I do and don't do. Your identity determines what you do and don't do. If you believe that you are in Christ and you are the representation of God in the earth through Christ Jesus, if that becomes real to you, and the more it does become real to you, the less you are tempted to do these other things. The less those things have power over your life. Because they only have power over your self-life. They have no power over your spiritual life. I've heard people say many times, man, I come to a church service and I feel like I can conquer the world. Everything's great. I feel powerful. I go home. Within 2 or 3 hours, I feel weak. Why? Because while you're in the service, there's a God focus. And that God focus for that short amount of time, you actually start to believe that you're in Christ and you're above all these things. But you go back home, you go into your routines, and you allow yourself to go back into, well, it's just me. And that's when things become hard again. Things in the flesh is always hard. It's hard to make yourself a good Christian. It's very hard. That's why I say don't bother. But it's a natural transition in the human mind if we'll allow ourselves to go there, that we are in Christ. The more you associate with the Word of God, with uplifting things of the people of God and of the Spirit of God, it's just a natural transition because you are a spirit. So living in the Spirit's an easy thing. And life becomes easy in the Spirit because you let go of all those things that you thought were so important in the natural. So again, the latter part of verse 6. Now we can serve God not in the old way by obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Verse 7. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. The law has a purpose. The law shows me my sin. Or we could say it this way. The law shows me the parameters for my life. It's something I can relate to. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, you must not covet. Covet means to want what somebody else has. Verse 8. But sin used this command. Sin used this law, thou shalt not covet. It used this command to arouse all kind of covetous desires within me. If there was no law, sin would not have that power. So the power of sin is in the law. The purpose of the law is to show us where we miss the mark. But the law cannot fix it. The purpose of the law is just to reveal something to us, to show us what's going on. but the law was not created to fix it. And sometimes people say, well, I by the law, I see, you know, thou shalt not spit in your neighbor's face. So, okay, I shouldn't do that. But every time your neighbor comes by and yaps at you, you just want to spit in his face. And that temptation gets stronger and stronger every day. And you're trying not to spit in his face. And the more you try not to, the more you think about not doing it, the more you want to do it. Because what you focus on, your focus determines your future. If you focus on not doing something, the more you want to do that thing. So the answer is not to focus on not doing something. The answer is to focus on who you are in Christ. And those things will fall away by themselves. It's a focus problem. It's an identity problem. Focus on who you are in Christ. The answer is focusing on who you are. I have quit trying to be a good person. I quit it years ago. I will not try to be a good person. I refuse to try to be a good person. I put all my time and energy into my oneness with Christ and let the cards fall where they may. Oh, that upsets some people. Let the cards fall where they may. Put your time and energy into your identity and relationship with Christ. And forget about everything else. You will find life going a lot better for you. You'll find a lot less condemnation. And you will find a liberty. A liberty. Verse 9 says, at one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life. You see, the temptation to do what you're not supposed to do, it's in the carnal nature. In the moment, even a child growing up, something you're not even interested in until your parents say, don't touch that! Don't touch that! And then it's like, I want to touch it! The only way you fully overcome that is death. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life, and I died. When the power of sin came to life, he died. What does it mean he died? He found himself separated from God because he was doing the things he knew he shouldn't do. So I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. But still, even though all that happened, the law itself is holy. And its commands are holy and right and good. So there's not a problem with the law. Hear what he's saying here. The law is good and holy. The problem is our relationship with the law. It's our relationship with the law. An inappropriate relationship with the law brings death. A proper relationship with the law brings life. If the law is something we're trying to follow, that is a improper relationship, and you will find yourself separated from God, and you will be called religious, stinking religious. And nobody will want to be around you. Ah, we get to the good part. Verse 13. But how can this be? How can this be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. The law didn't kill you. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. I like that wording there. Sin used what was good. What was good? The law. And it used the good law to bring about my condemnation to death. So how do we know we're on the road to death? Where death again means separation from God. How do we know we're on the road of being separated from God when we find ourselves condemned? Now, let me just rabbit trail quickly here. Nobody can condemn you. You condemn yourself. Nobody can condemn you. Condemnation is an inappropriate relationship. Condemnation is a result when you try to do things in your own strength and your own power. Condemnation is a result of you trying to be a good Christian. If you try to be a good Christian, you will find yourself living in condemnation. If you try to be a good Christian, you will find yourself falling short all the time. And when you fall short, when you mess up, you blame yourself, you condemn yourself, you say, "Oh, the worm that I am." And you put yourself in the big, deep, black hole. And that does not bring life. That is not the answer, my friends. That is not the answer. How can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commands for its own evil purposes. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The law is spiritual. All those legalistic people out there, hear me. Read your Bible, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Read every translation you've got. The bottom line is the law is spiritual. It's not literal. The literal law brings death. The literal law brings separation from God. The literal law brings legalism. The literal law brings segregation. The literal law brings hatred of your brother. All the things which defile the Spirit of God. For the law is spiritual and good. The trouble is with... Who's the trouble with? With me. Ah. The trouble is with me. This is the Paul, the great apostle, talking. The guy who wrote most of the New Testament, okay? Most of that New Testament Bible you read, Paul wrote himself. This is what that Paul was saying. The trouble is with me. I, Paul, am the problem. For I am all too human, a slave to sin. Notice his wording. For I am all too human. What's the problem Paul's having? Identity. I am human. I am all too human. No, you're not human. You are. You should just say this. I am spirit, and I am life. I am Christ. I am light. I am love. I am peace. I am joy. But don't call me merely human. I am success. I am abundance. I am the light of the world. I am healing. I am prosperity. I am whatever God is, I am. Let me tell you something God is not. God is not human. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man. He's not mankind. He's not humankind that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He is spirit. John says God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. He's not human. You're not human. You are spirit. So the problem Paul was having was an identity issue. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. Verse 15. Now, watch this, what's going on in Paul. I love this latter part here. I don't really understand myself. Anybody else relate to that besides me? I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Wow. This is the great apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He says, for what I want to do, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that I am doing, sorry, if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. It's the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. In other words, he's saying there's nothing good that lives in my self-life. I want to do what is right, but I can't. You see, that's the only time you're allowed to say can't. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. But what you cannot do is you cannot do all things in yourself. Self is limited. Christ is unlimited. People say, I can't do that. Well, of course you can't do that. Well, don't stop trying to do it and get into Christ and you'll find yourself doing it. The power is in Christ. The power is not in self. But I can't. Verse 19. I want to do what is good, but I don't. Wow. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. Well, there's a battle, eh? But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. There's a principle of life he discovered. This is Paul's discovery. And now notice that anytime I want to do right, I end up doing wrong. What's the problem here? I want to do what is right. I end up doing wrong. When I live in my strength, Mike is going to do this, Mike is going to do that, Mike ends up messing up. Because I'm not to live in Mike, I'm to live in Christ. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. You said, I love God, I love His word, I love His law. But yet, I find myself breaking it all the time. What's wrong with me? Verse 23. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. There's another power within you that's at war with your mind. Where's the battle? In your mind. What is this power within you? It's the power of self, which is sin. The independent power of self is sin. I want to do it my way. And that's what destroys us. Look at verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Is there any answer for the wretched man that I am? I hate myself for the things that I do. Is there any answer for me? It's a cry of his heart. Then he goes, aha, I have the answer. Verse 25. Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want you to see this. The answer isn't Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. What is that saying? The answer is not Jesus fix it for me, because he won't, because he can't. The answer is not to get Jesus to fix all your problems. The answer is to live inside of him. To live inside of Christ Jesus. when I live inside of Him, and now it's His life, not my life. The answer is an identity. I'm not Mike over there. I'm Christ. I'm living in Christ, therefore I am Christ, and focus on my life in Him. Thank God, the answer is in Christ Jesus. The answer is not crying out to Him. Too many Christians, "Oh Jesus, help me, help me. Jesus, help me, help me." That's not a healthy prayer. Oops, I upset somebody. That is not a healthy prayer. That prayer, "Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me," is Jesus is way out there somewhere and you're over here. I'm the little nobody on earth. Come help this little nobody. Make my life better. Take away my owie. And that's where most of the church is at, folks. And that is not Christianity. Christianity is not God stepping in, fixing your problems. Christianity is you stepping into God and living His life. Folks, we've got it backwards. And as long as we live it backwards, we will have constant failure, frustration. And then through all that failure and frustration, to feel better about ourselves, we just have to make a lot more rules and laws to live by. Well, I'm doing by the laws of our church. I'm following the rules, so therefore I'm okay. Even though I hate myself, I'm okay. Even though I don't trust myself, I'm okay. That's not freedom in the Spirit. That's called a prison. That's called a religious prison for the mind. Thank God. The answer is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Now go to Romans 8:1. Now remember, this is not a new chapter when the book was written. This is a letter Paul wrote. Man put the numbers in. This is the next line in the letter. Okay? Which says, So, in other words, because of what I just said, this is kind of a conclusion to it, as so, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The New American says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. How do I get past condemnation? Don't live in myself. Find my identity in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if I'm in myself trying to be a good person, what am I going to experience? Condemnation. Because there's no condemnation in Christ, but there's lots of condemnation in Mike. There's lots of condemnation in Mike. So as long as I live in Mike, I feel condemned. And I'm always trying to do something to be accepted. I'm always trying to do something to try and be a better person. And that's a horrible life. A horrible life. Stop trying to be a good person. And focus on who you are in Christ. Listen, that is the grace of God. There's so much teaching on the grace message, but guys, I can really simplify it. The grace of God is simply this: everything that's already been done for us. To step into the grace is not stepping into a license to do what you want to do. Stepping into His grace is stepping out of your life into Christ. Christ is the grace of God. The grace of God is not some substance out there separate from Christ. Christ is the grace of God. In Him is the grace of God. There is no other grace of God except that which is found in identity in Him. If you live outside of your identity in Christ, trying to be a good Christian by the grace of God, you fail. Grace is an identity in Christ. Everything is an identity in Christ. And this identity is a progressive journey where you've got to come to the place step by step of who you are instead of who you're not. Verse 2 says, and because you belong to Him, Who do you belong to? Him, Christ. The power of the life-giving Spirit, because you're in Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. As long as I stay out of Mike, sin has no power over me. Because why? Because Christ conquered sin. Let me say that again. Christ Jesus conquered sin. So if I am in Christ, therefore I am Christ, then I conquered sin. If Megan is in Christ, then Megan conquered sin. If Joshua is in Christ, then Joshua covered sin. You see, if you're in Christ, sin's already defeated because Christ defeated sin. You know what? There's nowhere in the Bible where it says Mike conquered sin. In fact, it just says Mike's a slave to it. Mike's a slave to it. So in Christ, I have my freedom. In Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, I am free and have liberty. You see, verse 3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice of sin. Why? Because, go back to the beginning, what does the law say? The law is only in place while the person lives. So when Jesus walked on the earth, He was under the law. When He died on the cross, the law no longer applied to Him. The law does not apply to dead men. So He died, which set Him free from the law. You see, really, He had to set Himself free to set us free. So Christ died and was set free from the law. And in His resurrection, we live in Him. So when we live in Christ, we live in His death and His resurrection. Because we live in His death, the law no longer applies to us. Because the law does not apply to dead men. It only applies to living people. So as long as I choose to live in Christ, to live in the One who died, the law doesn't apply to me. I live in Christ. If I live in myself, the law does apply. So therefore, the simple answer is, life is in Christ. Do take all of your efforts, all of your works, because there is works in this, but the works is not to attain unto anything. The purpose of works is to deal with our mind and our thinking, that we come into a place of realizing that which already is through the blood, the grace of God. To come into that identity once and for all. Daily, that's why Paul says, daily I crucify myself. Daily I choose not to live in Paul. I have to decide that every day. That's what Paul's saying. I have to decide daily. I'm not going to live in Paul today. Today I live in Christ. What Paul wants to do, who cares? It's what God wants. That's his daily choice. So I die, Paul said this, I die daily. I die every day so that every day I am not a prisoner of the law. As long as I keep dying to myself and my self desires and live inside of Christ in His desires, I will find myself living in freedom. I will find myself free of condemnation. I will find myself living a spiritual, powerful life where I am everything that God is on the earth. And then the scripture is fulfilled, and the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, manifesting in your life, manifesting in all of our lives, that the glory of God be seen in the earth. Don't wait for something to come in the clouds for the glory to show up. That's Old Testament. The glory lives in you. Allow the windows of heaven, who you are, to open up and allowed that glory to pour into the earth. And then we shall see something very, very different. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, thank you. Take what was said today and just quicken within each one of us. Reveal within each one of us what we need for this hour, for each one of our lives, to move forward in that God purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.